Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Molly Hanley.
You guys are ignorant and you're also naive.
On Sports Radio 670, The Score. Chicago's sports station.
Kevin White, I don't know if you saw the photo of him.
Saw the photo in Hawaii.
Looks like a million, huh?
Hasn't had a pizza in 2 years. He's cut.
Oh my God!
Ripped and ripped.
I mean, is that an 8-pack? Is that a 6-pack? It's not a.
The gun shows everything. He was shirtless.
Holy
Kevin
God,
White.
He looked the part. Now, if you get him to play, and the coach is going to try to do that, but it's been tough for Kevin. It's been very difficult to get him up and running, and presumably his confidence will be high. Although we haven't seen that, they haven't given up on him, but they need him to be a stud, or they need somebody to be a stud. They need receivers. They need to improve their receiving core. They need development, but they need replacement. Let's be honest. If you get some help and then you come back in the second round, you know, maybe you can get some pass rush, get some linebacker help, get a corner. They got a lot of needs, and there's going to be a lot to follow. And in a certain way, you'll be able to kind of follow a draft plan by watching what they do in free agency.
Mully and Hanley.
Fruit and toot and fruit and.
I'm Ragnar. Pay me.
That's how I roll, buddy.
Start your day with the teams you know.
Porter Moser, the head basketball coach at Loyola. What a magnificent run. What a great season.
It's so fun to see the pride of all the Loyola alums, Loyola students, Loyola alums. There's just so much pride. It's such an awesome university. And to see this pride, it's been great.
Mully Hanley.
This is all tricky.
Here we go!
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to The Score. A little frost on the ground, but pretty much a stable day. Shouldn't be any major issues getting in.
Well, damn, it's a little March Madness. What? Oh, that was the Bulls' first quarter. Yeah, there's a little mist in the air, a little moisture, a little wintry mix last night.
Yeah, the Bulls' first quarter. You just stopped me there.
Oh, for love of! I mean, there's.
Was that the change to the starting lineup? Was that
Bobby Porter's second start? We've seen enough of that. He was bad, but unfortunately, some of your so-called burgeoning superstars were a lot worse. Zach LaVine. Wait,
wow.
What was that?
1 of 11.
Yeah. 1 of 11. Look, the
4 points in 27 minutes.
Do you see the plus minuses for these guys? No, the byproduct of the first quarter, right?
I'm guessing what you want to say there is, did you see the minuses for these guys?
Yes, there were. Well, here's you're right. You know what? I can summarize the game in the fact that two players were on the plus side. It was your guy Felicio and Cam Payne. I think you
think
know
about that.
You had a rough night at the office when Felicio was a plus 16 and campaigns a plus 10, and your core three were minus.
I thought it was core four.
Well, okay, you want to, core four. Bobby Portis minus 33.
Yeah, he was terrible.
Zach LaVine minus 29. That's Chris Dunn running that offense, running whatever defense that was, minus 26.
And Markkanen was the best of the worst.
Yeah, and he just looks tired.
He looks tired.
He really looks gassed.
So do I.
Yeah, Markkanen minus 28, just to keep things, just to keep the group going.
Yeah, at least they're in it together.
Yep.
At least we can watch
the core four does everything together. Good or bad, they're in it together.
Are we calling them a core four?
Sure, why not?
I don't know what we're doing.
They're pulling the same side of the rope. They're rowing the boat in the same direction. They're...
I don't
chopping wood.
I don't get it.
They were throwing up bricks.
The Bears have until 3 o'clock this afternoon to decide if they're going to tag Kyle Fuller.
Yeah, happy tag day.
Do you think they're like debating that right now?
Oh yeah, about 2:55, they're going to be sweating. Okay, one more time around the room. We'll take a quick vote.
I picture like an office. Yeah. There's like bubbling beakers of some chemical, and they're sitting there with white lab coats on, and they're kind of arguing they've got the math on the board, and they're going back and forth.
And then is George McCaskey like the vice president in the Senate chambers? If there's a tie, he has to come in and break the tie. George, we just can't figure this out. To tag or not to tag? Then he breaks the tie, and the big gavel goes down, and Kyle Fuller.
He's more like the guy sweeping the back of the room while they're doing all the mathematics of it. And then someone just, you know, the door bursts open, and there's a scream of, there's $10 million more under the cap!
Yeah.
Because it is fluid.
Yeah, you know, it is fluid. The cap is going up. The cap is going to be set at around $177.2 million, which is about $10 million more. So if you go free agent hunting, everybody gets, okay, you have the money you've saved. Here's an extra $10 million to everyone.
Hmm.
How does that help you when you go?
That's a nice business to be in.
Yeah, I'm just going to pocket mine. Did anyone notice? Yeah, they notice. You've got to spend a minimum amount of that money. So you got to spend some money.
What could they possibly be talking about today when it comes to making a decision on Kyle Fuller?
Nothing.
Got to go back and look at games 3, 4, and 5 one more time just to make sure we saw what we saw.
Our guy Big Z reporting they will not franchise him, but they could put the transition tag on him. The transition tag, I think, is $13 million. The franchise tag is $15 million around
plus,
that.
Plus, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like 13 versus 15. The thing with the transition tag is someone could come in and write a contract for Kyle Fuller, but then they'd have to take him, and they'd have to give up some compensation because he's a first-round draft pick.
I think he's going to free agency. I think he's going to go test the free agent waters.
So, but would you put a transition tag on him?
No, I wouldn't do anything right now. You know, let him test the marketplace. If some team wants to wow him with long-term guaranteed money.
If you let a guy test the marketplace, you pretty much
– okay. Look,
so you're letting the guy go.
They've tried for a couple weeks now to get a long-term deal done, and obviously that's not going to happen either. So, you know, you have a number that you figured out that you think is fair, and obviously he and his agents have a number that's figured out.
I thought we decided they were still trying to do the math before the trade deadline.
All right, well then, if that's the case, then we need to reevaluate the whole hope that you have the right people moving forward.
You're being fair enough. They know what they want to pay him. They know what the numbers are and what he expects. And I would guess it's a hard middle ground to find.
Yeah.
Just based on the fact that, if you want to keep me, you can keep me, but you got to give me this. So I don't know. Maybe he comes back. Maybe checks free agency, finds out that there's the offer they're given is the best one.
They also have to make a decision on Marcus Cooper, another cornerback. Yeah, that costs you $2 million by next week, right?
Are they related?
Well, I mean,
I'm saying, are the two decisions related? Marcus Cooper, you should know whether he can play or not.
Not only that, but I mean, you do owe him, I think, next Wednesday, Thursday, whatever. You owe him $2 million if he's still around. If you want to take a look at him, over and above his $5 million salary, he's got a bonus of $2 million. So if you want to take a longer look at him, that will cost you $2 million. That's lunch money in the NFL, but at least they're going to have maybe a little more discussion on that, I would think.
You, Darvish, how about that? Makes his debut. Only you. And Ian Happ hit a double and a home run. That guy just can't stop hitting.
Shows up the ballpark, goes yard, and goes home.
That's what he does. Dylan Cease does that. So if Dylan Cease ends up being a stud pitcher, will that bother you in any way?
Yes, especially now that Eloy's got the knee. Now I've been fixated on Dylan Cease.
Oh, really?
61st draft prospect in the top 100 in baseball and looking pretty good. Quietly going about his business for the White Sox.
The Blackhawks host the Avalanche. Anything? Blackhawks? Does it do anything for you? You didn't even... Sometimes when someone would say the word Blackhawks, your head would pop up. Blackhawks?
Saturday popped up. I was like, hey, remember when they used to do that and score 4 or 5 goals in a period instead of a week and a half?
Yeah, those were the days. Mark Smith, the former Mr. Basketball of Illinois, is transferring out of the program.
This was the kid that Brad Underwood said was Jason Kidd, the second coming Jason Kidd, and had great future and star, had ticket to stardom down in Champaign. And obviously, what, five, almost 6 points a game? I mean, absolutely nothing. Just you talk about a bad, bad rookie year, freshman year.
Yeah.
And then he said, I can do something else. See you later.
Where
and,
is he from? Carbondale? Is that where he's from? He's from downstate.
Yeah.
Right.
And you know, I guess to their credit, they wrote, you know, a letter of release. They're not going to make him sit out a year. He can go and transfer anywhere and try to pick up the pieces. But when that's one of your big time recruits last year and it didn't work out and now you're not going to have it working out moving forward, you got to, it's just, it's tough for the Illini.
Canelo, he tested positive for a banned substance, and it's not the kind of excuse you hear all the time. According to his camp, he fights May 5th against Triple G. According to his camp, contaminated meat.
Yeah, apparently that's the standard go-to excuse for meat in Mexico when it comes up positive in the old test.
That was the meat?
Yeah, that they use some sort of chemical to...
You buy it?
I thought that was in the water.
This is no, that's yeah, that's why you, the worm in the bottle that when you go on vacation, you stick to that instead of the tap water. No. But I love this. It's not necessarily going to
stop the fight.
That's right. That's
there's
boxing.
A lot of money to be won.
That's boxing, baby. No.
Money to make, and we have
that. That yeah. Okay, we can look past that.
312-644-6767 is the telephone number. We've got the 5 at 5 next. It's Mully and Hanley on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This segment was brought to you by Indeed. Are you hiring? With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on qualified candidates in an online dashboard. Get started at indeed.com/hire.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hanley, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hanley. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hanley starts now.
The blowouts like last night's Bulls-Celtics game help or hurt the rebuild?
Wow. Obviously they help in terms of not gaining ground. You thought they were going to lose that game and they lost that game. That, it's just, you know, you feel less certain about these guys when they have games like that. It's as simple as that. Normally, one guy would be good and a couple of guys would be bad, but watching the core three play poorly together was a little bit difficult. I thought that Bobby Portis came out super aggressive and not super good, but super aggressive, and especially offensively. And I'm not sure that worked. I think he should be coming off the bench, frankly. But hey, you know, maybe the metrics say that adverse metrics say that that you start him and then you don't have any help coming off the bench or something like that. I don't know. But they were so. They were playing a decent opponent too, but they were completely out of sync. And I would say ultimately that doesn't give you great faith in what's going on with the rebuild. You would like to see them play better together. The fact that all three guys played poorly, all you can do is be thankful they did lose because that's where we're at in the rebuild. And, Brian, you asked a question the other day about the White Sox, if they're trying to lose again this year. And I've thought about that a lot. Are the Bulls going to try to lose again next year? Is this just a one-off? Is this the losing year? And then next year you try to get the last playoff spot?
Yeah, or especially if they end up eighth or ninth in the lottery and it's...
Well, that's it. They got two
In a four-player draft, you end up eighth or ninth.
Well, they got two first-round picks coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, take this group and add a couple of 19-year-olds to it. At some point, you're going to have to start trying to win. At some point, you're going to have to go get a free agent or go get somebody. And, you know, I know the idea would be to only go out and get like a really big name potential, franchise player type guy.
D. Wade?
Well, there's no one like that. That's the point. Yeah. There is nobody like that that can come in free agency and turn your fortunes. I mean, LeBron, I suppose. But he's not coming here. That's not a consideration.
Yeah, he may be going west, but I don't think this is as far west as
he might go to
Philadelphia,
but he's not coming here.
Look, I mean, you said them all. Your faith was, mine was shook a little bit last night when you're watching that. To be down 37 points to a Celtics team without Kyrie Irving, and I get it, you beat them before this season without Kyrie Irving, but if you ran into the Golden State Warriors, who had, for whatever reason, actually seemed interested that night, and they just ran over you because of the Golden State Warriors and they were playing their A game, then I could live with that. I mean, those were self-inflicted wounds. You had guys not, it looked like they didn't have a clue on defense. They were forcing stuff on offense. And it seemed like everyone just was, you know, there was a lot of I in team last night for three of those guys, and, you know, mostly Zach LaVine. So that's the problem. I mean, the fact that Zach LaVine said they're terrible all around, yeah, and he should look in the mirror. He was awful. A loss is a loss, okay? And you, the odds are stacked against you. You have a less than a 3% chance to get the top overall pick anyway. But, you know, fans should at least get a quarter or two where they can say that's what it looks like, or, you know, that's what I'm coming out here to watch, because there's at least a positive to see one or two or hopefully all three of those guys clicking together. That, I don't know what that was. And I don't know if that was just one bad night at the office. I don't know. Interesting to see how Fred handles it today in practice. Because as mad as Fred gets, he was that last night. He was ticked off that they quit. So we'll see if he treats them, you know, a little tougher in practice today. But, you know, yeah, it hurts the rebuild because they quit. Well, it doesn't look like it looks like you're just a bad team. It doesn't look like there's much of a future there on a night like that. Now, it's a one-off. I get it. But, you know, you got to be much better than that for at least 12 or 24 minutes of the 48. You got to at least look like you have a clue. And last night they looked like they had anything but.
Hang on, the Celtics just scored on Markkanen again.
Oh, boy.
Jesus. It hurts the rebuild. Definitely hurts the rebuild for the core three, not the core four. The last 19 games, is if they play like this, not saying they're going to, but if they play something like this, the last 19 games, and it moves you up, maybe it ends up moving up a spot, maybe you end up seventh and not eighth or something like that, is it worth it? Wasting that much of the season, the last 20 games?
Joe, they're trying to hang on to eighth because
I know. Here come the Knicks
are right behind them.
Yeah, right now they say top three, 9.9% chance, a 2.8% chance of the number one overall pick. And yeah, that's what it feels like, hanging on to eighth. But yeah, it definitely hurts the rebuild. I mean, we're going to see it on Wednesday, tomorrow night against Memphis. These are the teams they're trying to be worse than. I mean, they've lost their last 14 games in a row. The Bulls are just a little bit too much talent, have a little bit too much talent for that to be on that level. But overall, it certainly hurts the rebuild.
Yeah, I hate this. And this is one of the reasons that I wasn't 100% on board with blowing it up, because in the NBA, it doesn't always work according to plan because there are so many other variables. And I've mentioned before teams like Sacramento, Phoenix, Orlando that have consistently been in the lottery every single year. And they've drafted a lot of good players, but that winning culture never really manifests itself. And it just becomes a cycle of tanking and losing and tanking and trying to get back in the lottery. And maybe we'll hit on this guy. And you do have to accumulate talent, but that doesn't mean anything if the players don't learn to win. So I hated what I saw last night. I hate how many times Hoiberg this year has come out after the games and flat out said they quit and there was no drive, there was no fight, there was no desire. And that is really problematic as well. And I know Boston's good. I get that. But games like last night, not fun to watch and counterproductive to, I think, what they're trying to build here.
Yeah, counterproductive is definitely one way to put it. When they're all bad together, you guys have all mentioned that's Markkanen was 5 for 10. Is that the good news? One guy shot 50%.
Yes,
and maybe the Bulls are outsmarting all of us, right? We talked about it a little bit yesterday during the segment about, okay, you put Bobby Portis in the starting five now, and that gets rid of the bench opportunity. Now, Valentine did do a halfway decent job, and I wonder if that's the next switch now. So after these five games, will they put Portis back into the second group and move Valentine up into the first group? But I hope they're outsmarting us. The other thing is, and maybe we can play it later, Goodwill had an interesting report on Zach's overall health. And if he's not ready to be Zach, then he should not be playing 27 minutes. He should be playing no minutes. No more minutes. Because he's having a rough go of it lately.
Yes.
So no, I vote for no more minutes for Zach.
I figured that'd be an early question this morning.
Did the combine change your thinking on which player the Bears should take at 8?
The combine changed my thinking as to which players are going to be available at 8. I don't, you know, Chubb's not going to be there, so there goes your best edge rusher, and there's no one close to his talent. Quentin Nelson's not going to be there, so, you know, the hope now is that 2 of the 3 quarterbacks go. I think 3 out of 3 is wishful thinking. You know, as far as the receiver goes, the numbers tell you that it's been a dry run for Pro Bowl receivers the last 3 drafts in the first round. So I don't know that Ridley's my guy, and he didn't test all that well. On half the tests, he did okay, and the other half, not so good. So as much as desperate as you are for a receiver, I don't think you want to spend it on with the 8th overall pick. So, you know, Quentin Nelson isn't going to be there either. I you better be thinking about trading down. You better be hoping someone wants to trade up. And I get the fact that if 3 quarterbacks go, you have pretty much the pick of the best player available, and you have a whole list of needs here that you should be able to find somebody to plug in and be an immediate contributor to this thing. But unfortunately, the 2 or 3 guys I was hoping they would be there are not going to be there. So some of those guys that the combine really helped their stock and hurt the Bears' chances.
I think the combine has a big influence on the draft when you know, Saquon Barkley put up unbelievable numbers at the combine. He really shined.
Better vertical than Julio Jones, faster than Devin Hester in the 40.
Yeah, and he lifted like, who's the Cleveland offensive lineman? He lifted better than Joe Thomas. Yeah. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Think about that.
It's unbelievable. He really put on a show. So Barkley's helped a lot. You mentioned the quarterbacks, Brian. One of the fun games we like to play around the free agency time is follow the quarterbacks and take a look at which teams are ahead of the Bears. And, you know, I guess what I'm saying is, do you want Kirk Cousins to wind up in Minnesota, because that they're not picking ahead of the Bears, and that means maybe another quarterback goes off the board before the Bears pick. So we'll keep a close eye on that and what these teams, you know, if Denver gets them, then obviously Denver's not taking a quarterback, and you know, you want that to happen. You want 4 quarterbacks off the board. I'd be surprised if there were. But Baker Mayfield has made a move in his postseason. He's short, but he has all the intangibles. And does that, you want him over one of these other guys? Let's hope they're all off the board before the Bears pick. Minka Fitzpatrick looks like he's going to be gone. You mentioned Quentin Nelson. If that's the case, you know, there's a very good chance that Calvin Ridley could be the guy. And, you know, he's a pretty good player. He's the guy that rare route runner, has the whole route tree. Brian, he can climb the route tree. I think the combine always, it's just another piece of information that you put into the mountains of data or data that you get, John Gruden, and make a decision. So I don't know that we have a lock as to where the Bears are going with that, but again, you know, we're going to keep a close eye on free agency. They need receivers. They need a pass rusher. They have so many needs.
What don't they need?
Yeah. You know? I guess a quarterback, right?
They
need a backup quarterback.
They need a punter. They need a kicker. I mean, come on. They need everything.
Certainly a lot of noteworthy things going on at the combine, especially the Griffin story. You walk away, that was just unreal to witness over the weekend. But there wasn't a player I said, oh, that's the guy. That's the guy I hope falls to the Bears at number 8 due to all the needs at some very important positions, as Mully just went over. And what we witness on television is very different than the intel that the teams are getting. We don't know about the medicals. We're not in on those interviews. Yeah. And those are two very important pieces. So, no, it did not change my thinking on the Bears at number 8.
Changed my thinking a little bit. I'm interested in Tremaine Edmonds. He had a really good combine, linebacker out of Virginia Tech. He's not really the pure pass rusher that I think a lot of people would like to see them take in the first round if they do go defensively, but he's more of an all-arounder. I think that he would be a great addition to any team, certainly the Bears, who need playmakers on defense, and I think he is definitely going to be one of those.
6'4", 253, that works, but everyone's projecting like 15 to 20 for him, so you're taking him at 8? And
you know, I think he was so good at the combine that he's going to sneak back into that top 10, and I think that if all the chips fall in front of the Bears and three quarterbacks end up being taken, like I think is entirely possible, I think he could definitely be there in 8. I'd like that pick.
Can I start the hashtag now? Anybody but the this guy.
Here we go.
This guy is the king of the underwear Olympics. Okay, and it's something I thought I learned something from Greg Gabriel on Twitter about the combine. I think this guy pounded water like nobody's business ahead of this thing. That guy will not play a down of football in the NFL at 254 pounds next year. Maybe in 2 or 3 years, but not next year. Okay, we don't need another track athlete trying to play pass rusher. That's not what they need, especially not at number 8. What I hope happens, you know, Brian, you said 3. What we got to hope, if we're Bears fans, we got to cross our fingers and toes for, is that 4 quarterbacks somehow.
Yeah,
okay, that, I'm saying, cross your fingers,
fantasy,
cross your
right,
toes, right? Then Joe talks about, now you might get some players falling down. Now Fitzpatrick from Alabama is a possibility, right? Now there's some things. Otherwise, if that doesn't happen, Brian, then I hope Ryan Pace is open for business.
Yeah.
Right, Mully, you talk about it all the time, and I agree with you 100%. What the Bears need right now are picks. They need bodies. You guys talked about it at the start of the question. Name a position they don't need help with right now. Quarterback, I guess.
They need a backup.
That's when you make that Jordan Howard trade for Landry.
What?
This is a very important question.
How should the Bears handle the Kyle Fuller decision?
Listen, here's the thing. They were armed with a lot more information than we are. So they should know how to handle the Kyle Fuller decision. I might use the transition tag. It's $13 million and it buys you another year. We talk about all the players that they've got to get, all the positions they got to fill. Presumably they're going to get a corner or two in free agency, and if you had a starter back here, that would be good. I don't know how much it's going to cost for Prince Amukamara. That might be a better option here, but this kid is young. You did draft him. You didn't draft him. The last administration did. But he's a Bear. He's a guy that was drafted by the Bears. They got tons of money. And if you use a transition tag, you save yourself $2 million off the $15 million franchise tag. You dare someone else to create a market for the kid. And you spend money that you have on a player that at a position you need. So I would look long and hard at that transition tag and try to figure out if you could get by for a year with another young guy and maybe, find something in him. Did you find out whether there was some sort of turn of the screw, some kind of change of mind, some kind of
light bulb went off? Yeah,
exactly. So you get that information. If you don't believe that happened, you lose $13 million. You got about $70 million available, and you throw money out of habit around here. And then we all tear into you. But if you don't do it, then you're missing a position. If you know that he's your best corner, which they should know, then you do something like that. If they know he's not, then let him go. If he's not that guy, let him go. But you got money, and you need bodies, and you need to fill different positions, and you're kicking the can down the road for a year. I would give it a serious thought.
There are decisions in the NFL, and then there are the Bears' decisions. And when you look at, just to give it perspective, as well as Kyle Fuller played and it was his best season with the Bears, it was just that. It wasn't a Pro Bowl season. It was his best season for the Bears. This is the Bears' big decision today. And meanwhile, the likes of the Eagles are sitting here saying, well, we don't want to trade Nick Foles, and we're not sure when Carson Wentz is coming back, but the phone is ringing. And if someone wants to belly up a couple first-round picks, well, then we have to, we have to decide whether that's a decision. Now that there's a guy.
Yeah, but you're the only decisions you can make is the ones you
right,
have.
Right, but it just gives you an idea.
I was just using sports cliche.
It just gives you an idea where you are, where the Bears are at in terms of talent and.
Oh, they're a four-time division loser.
They've earned every bit of that basement dwelling, right? So that's the decision has to have been made by now. And I'm with you, Mully. If you don't know, you know, the, whether he wants to be here or not, that's part of it. But that's so secondary. Is he a good cornerback? Moving forward, what is he exactly?
Will he get better?
Will he get better? If this is it, see you later. Okay,
he's a young guy, and the light came on for a year. Okay. Is it on for good? Is it going to burn bright, or is he just because he's in a contract year?
And it came on for 75-80% of the year. I mean, it wasn't like this guy had this unbelievable year that people are going to be talking about.
He had a good year. He had a good year for him and for them.
Okay, but you know, to sweat this, let the league determine the market. If he really wants to be here, the agent will double back and say, here's our best offer. Are you going to meet it or exceed it? And then you make the decision then. But I'm not losing sleep over, certainly by 3 o'clock today, he's not sitting here with a franchise tag on him if I'm running the show.
Yeah, they had a lot more information on him than us, and they declined the fifth-year option. And I didn't have an issue with it at the time based on his play. If the Bears handle it like Brad Biggs suggested, for once I would not have an issue with Ryan Pace. I would not use the franchise tag, but of course you would like to bring him back. They're not in a position to lose any sort of talent on this roster. He's just not in the class of Norman, Jimmy Smith, Xavier Rhodes, Patrick Peterson, so I'm not using the tag there.
I'm failing to see arguments against bringing back Kyle Fuller. It's not like he's over the hill. It's not like they don't need defensive backs. It's not like he had a bad season. And it's not like the Bears don't have the money to give out. They can't keep letting players go for nothing. I can't stand seeing it. And I'm not saying he is an elite corner. Joe, you're right. He's not that top of the line 1A type guy, but he's a good player. And he had a good season, and he's coming right into the prime of his career. I don't see there's any argument against giving him $20-25 guaranteed million dollars, because that's the going rate right now for a starting corner in the NFL. And like I said, they need it. I can't see an argument against it. Lock him up. You know, sorry to borrow the term, but.
Okay, I'll give it to you. And I know I'm Mr. Conspiracy Theory and connections and trying to connect some dots. Vic Fangio's back, and everybody wanted Vic Fangio to be back. Don't you think, based on how close Vic Fangio almost got to leaving, that if Vic Fangio went to the mattresses, to borrow a term, for this guy, he'd be tagged already? We wouldn't even be having this conversation. Now, Mully, I think what you brought up makes sense, especially with this new projected salary cap, an additional $10 million that yesterday you didn't know if you were or weren't going to have. That makes sense. But if he wanted him, if Vic Fangio wanted him to play cornerback for the Bears while Vic Fangio's coaching the Bears, I think we'd already be done with this. So I don't think Vic Fangio wants him, and definitely doesn't want him at that price.
So,
you're giving
Vic head coach / defense, right? So I mean, it's
I'm giving
he's
him.
Not the head coach,
I run the defense. Yes, and I've got a little bit of Ryan Pace's ear on this one. Like, I think if he really
fired
wanted him, I think he'd be done because they have the money. I think Ryan could be influenced by Vic Fangio. Hey, Vic. Okay, you want him? Okay, you got him. Here you go. You win.
Now, that's a good question.
Who's been the most impressive player in the spring so far for either the Cubs or the White Sox?
Well, yeah, I'm sure we're going to get a lot of people in agreement on this. And so, you know, Ian Happ, certainly, if you're a Cub fan, you
Happy was good.
I mean, the other dudes, and we haven't seen Zobrist yet, but the leadoff, I mean, 1-for-16 and what, no walks or two? I mean, it's abysmal. He's the only guy who looks the part right now. I'm going with Kyle Hendricks. The professor looked like the professor again yesterday after giving up the two-run home run and after deferring in the rotation to John Lester and the Jordan to Pippen bounce pass and all the stuff that's going on. He quietly went out there, made an adjustment on the fly, and his couple outings and three innings yesterday, I mean, he looks the part. He looks like a guy who's mid-season form right now. I'm going with Kyle Hendricks right now.
That's a good answer. I'll go with Ian Happ for the Cubs, and
Happy was good.
Yep, Ian Happ is. You know why? Because I don't know that they have any holes in their lineup, and I don't know that they have any real problems. But he's solving something. He's doing well enough to prove that he's having a good spring, and his name's got to be in the conversation, and he deserves to play every day, and that's what he's trying to prove. And he's a young guy, one season in. Catching fire in spring training, that's a good sign. You know, a guy that's coming back his sophomore year looking good. So I'll go with him as the the guy that's just answering a question. It's it's an unfair answer because there's so many of the Cubs that already are working on other things and are doing stuff. They already have established positions and they don't have to worry about trying to make an impact. So
I think it's tougher to figure out a White Sox player because there's a few.
I think it's Kopech. I think it's Michael Kopech. I think that what we've seen from him is a guy that belongs at the major league level and is in the top five pitchers in camp, if not, you know, the best. And that's my guy for the White Sox. I think that there have been a couple, but I think Kopech is making a push to try to be on the roster. I think it's a futile push because I don't think they want him there, and I think there are other considerations. And I think no matter what he does, he's going to open the season at AAA. But if you asked me who I think is the guy that's trying to make a move, I'd say it's Kopech.
I go into these games in Arizona with the mentality of don't overreact to anything that you see, especially in the first couple of weeks. You have the thin air. Pitchers are just working on things.
You saw Ian Clark's ninth inning yesterday.
Yeah. Some don't care about the results at all. Yeah, as the Sox give up, what, 9 unanswered runs?
There? Yes, there was the 9-0 lead that turned into a 9-9 tie, and he gave up, what, 5 in the bottom of the ninth?
But you have to be impressed with Ian Happ.
Happy was good.
4 home runs in 17 at-bats. OPS of 1,800. He's hitting almost 500. And Jason Hayward's 1-for-11.
Yes. Loud outs.
Happy has been good, but I'm not going to go in that direction. Matt Davidson
has
been absolutely knocking
all hair men.
The cover off the ball. We all know about the beautiful hair. We know he's got power. And if he can manage to make more contact this year and get himself a regular spot at the DH position or at third base, no matter where they choose to use him, he's got 12 RBIs in just 8 games so far. 2 doubles, a triple, 2 home runs. That's good for about a 1,200 OPS.
Where do you play him? Like you said, it's a. I mean,
I don't see another third base. I mean, they have Yolmer that can play third, but.
To your DH?
You got a DH spot available. You know, spell Abreu at first, perhaps, from time to time. You can find a position. If he's hitting anywhere near
this, is unbelievable.
This level, yeah. I mean, which is completely
not sustainable.
Yeah. And I liked him last year earlier in the season, but he did strike out too much. He didn't get on base enough. I still think he's young enough where something can click in his mind, and he can be an above-average major league player, so he's been really good. Nicky Delmonico has been hitting pretty well, too, but defensively, not so good out there, so I'll abstain.
Yeah, I think Ian Happ's the obvious answer, but I'm going to give you another Cub, and everybody buckle in for this one, okay?
Uh-oh.
Buckle up.
Oh, hold on.
Here we go. Tommy La Stella.
Oh, my!
Tommy La Stella keeps hitting like this. There's no question you got to have that guy on your roster, and you got to have him as your pinch hitter. The guy is a professional hitter. He makes a ton of contact. So, and maybe guys are just working on certain pitches, so maybe he's not hitting really good stuff. I don't know. I can't tell what's being called. But as far as watching eye test, reading, following on Twitter, reading the newspaper, he's had a really good spring training. The other guy, it's Matt Davidson, absolutely. Guy is hitting the cover off the ball. I mean, DH him and play him at third base, and when Abreu needs a day off, then have Abreu play DH and have him play third, whatever you got to do. But Matt Davidson,
and you know, Dustin, thank God Theo and Jed are much more even keeled than you and I are, because when he didn't go to Des Moines, I would have had no time to bring him back.
Right.
I mean,
that's my biggest issue with him. They massaged that thing.
They knew exactly that, you know, they had the luxury to give it time for one at that point. But they, you know, they did everything they could to make that not an issue, and here he is.
Dustin, I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
You might someday forgive Mike Maddox.
No.
Let's not push it, Mullen. Let's not push it.
But you.
Still a coward, Mike Maddox.
You, Darvish, today?
Yeah, you, Darvish.
He's going to be sick today.
I expect a tummy ache any second now.
Yeah. What about Quintana? Could you learn to love him?
We talked about that on the way out the other day. Less sock stinky.
You know, I understand the question, but at the same time, I'd like to, keep it to hockey questions only.
Which position should the Blackhawks prioritize in the upcoming draft?
You know, here's the problem with drafts of any sport. You can't pigeonhole people. You can't solve a problem, you have to also, I mean, everybody does it. Everybody has like, well, we got to get a defenseman. Well, we need a goalie. But what you really have to do is take the best player on the board. What you really have to do, if you get the first pick, you take that Swedish kid. What you have to do is not reinvent the wheel. You have to be smart enough to take, the, you know, you covered this thing all for the entire year. You got a couple years worth of information. You got a guy that you like. If he fits your scheme and you feel great about him, then go ahead and take him. There's, you know, you only overdraft once. It's never something that you can be punished with forever, although people will remember if you get a bust. But you need the best player on the board that fits what you do. And the fits what you do gives you a lot of leeway. But, you know exactly what kind of player you need. Go get him. I mean, if it's the best defenseman you need, then that would be better. But the best player is what you got to get.
Unfortunately, they're spoiled for choice. They're the Bears of hockey right now. They need name a position, and they could use help there. They have a slow aging defense, and their young defense, Connor Murphy, not as good as you'd hope when you traded what you traded to get this guy. You know, you're not sure what you have in your top six forwards. Well, you are sure it's Patrick Kane, and then what? Because Jonathan Toews is, you know, now fighting Sodder's out of frustration, and Sodder better be the anomaly this year. He better get back on his horse in quickly. Is a goaltender of the future here? And now that question moves to the forefront, because guess what?
Has it been for a long time?
The goaltender of the present isn't here. We don't know what the hell's going on with Corey Crawford. Anton Forsberg, certainly not the answer, right? So and here's the thing about the hockey draft. It's juniors, it's international, it's college.
Yeah.
Finding those players. But, I mean, you really name a position, you can upgrade there now.
But there are positions that they seem to be better at drafting than other teams.
Look, and Corey Crawford, healthy, is 33, right? And, I mean, I don't know. If I knew what was going on with him, I could make a determination on how high goalie is on your list of draft needs.
But how long do goalies stay, Brian? You know,
he's got three years in international football, go till they're
40.
Another good 3 years. I mean, where he should be playing at a high level. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know if the goaltenders at Rockford are any worth anything. You think you would have taken a look at him by now, since Crawford's been out of action since December. So right now, I'm going with the blue line. I mean, look. This has been bad back there for a couple, 2-3 seasons now. And it's not Duncan Keith getting one goal in a calendar year. They're slow. Your offense starts with your defense and your puck handling and all that. And you got to get the puck through the neutral zone with some sort of semblance of speed. So I go defense, but I mean, I sit here and make a case for top forward and certainly a goaltender as well.
Yeah, Brian, I had the exact same thought. They are like the Bears. What don't they need?
Yeah.
Once again, this is going to be, they're probably going to have a top 10 pick, and that would be the first time they've had one since 2007 when they took Patrick Kane number one overall. Of course, you go best available, but you look at this roster right now, look at the top line. Is there a position you could say, no, they are 100% fine. You could make an argument for anywhere. But if I have to choose a position, I'll go winger based on what we saw at Assad this season.
Just want to let you guys know, this segment is brought to you by Sport Clips. Check in online at sportclips.com/check-in and claim your spot today. I would say either defenseman or, if at all possible, to draft a new fan base, I'd be on board with that as well.
Oh, see what you did there? Here come the texts.
Every once in a while, I miss this guy, so I'm going to quote this guy, and we're short on time, and I don't know much about the prospects. But everything, all of them.
if you were actually quoting him, you would just use hand signals.
Well, I know, but that doesn't work on the radio.
It does.
You are correct.
It does.
Of course,
we would have had a laugh. And
that doesn't. It got a laugh out of you two, right?
It's calmness will move on, but their words stay forever.
Did you ever hear him say it?
I did. Okay. It, well, and I hadn't remembered it until you guys mentioned it. But then after kind of you guys telling me about
listeners, the line that would precede that is, what are you writing today, Jay? Everything, all of it.
Mulligan Hanley, that is the 5 at 5. It's your turn. 312-644-6767. You're listening to Sports Radio 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.